and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Fill up, say fill up. Rude Pundit today, Charlie Pierce of Esquire.com, and Rocky Mountain Mike has his fabulous new CD. Is going to be, we'll be playing a couple of cuts, as they say in the record business.
And we're gonna spin some discs, are we?
And conservative host Michael Medved, who I will be debating in Chicago. Oh, it must be such a horrible time to be a conservative. We'll see what he has to say.
No relation. Oh, it's the Obama shutdown. That's what he'll say.
Right.
Right.
No relation to Dmitry Medvedev.
By the way, does Ted Cruz think that if he just keeps repeating that, it'll become true? I'm just sad. I'm sad about this Obama-Harry Reid shutdown. This Obama-Harry Reid shutdown is really the worst. I don't know why Obama and Harry Reid feel they need to shut the government down.
Why
it's
would
just
they do
so
that,
sad.
Obama-Harry Reid?
The Obama-Harry Reid shutdown.
Obama-Reid. Donna Reid.
He's just the weirdest-looking little dude. Can I just say, he is sort of one part Ed Grimley. I can't even explain.
Ed Grimley, I must say.
Although we do...
Long, creepy, E.T.
Martha Mara's got a bit of
his...
Ed Grimley to him.
Yes. I'm sorry, Chris. Yes?
Although we do need to watch out for that kind of talk from people like Ted Cruz and all that, because the polls are showing that it's beginning to stick, that that the needle is moving more towards both sides are at fault.
No, well, isn't that just a
You can't discount what they're saying.
A new poll from Washington Post, ABC News, found that disapproval of GOPers is up to 70% among adults. From 63% at the end of September. Disapproval of Dems up 61% from 56. But, you know, they still blame Republicans more. And
yeah,
I think
they do. They do. But the needle is moving back towards...
Well, This is the problem, is because you can deconstruct any one of them going on any show, and pretty much everything they say is completely untrue.
Right.
But to
those of us who don't marinate in it all day long...
Well, pay attention, people, because...
Well, that's easy to say.
Ted Yoho.
Yoho!
That guy? Right.
Yahoo!
A Tea Party Republican freshman. They are a precious
little...
What
a Yoho.
Yeah, they're a precious little bunch. He was instrumental in the government shutdown. He said if the debt ceiling isn't raised, that will sure as heck be a moment. I think personally it would bring stability to the world markets.
What?
Oh my God.
Yeah, economists disagree with you.
I love this. It was that article was in the Washington Post, and the first comment from a user called Scientist One said, "That's because you're a cow doctor, not an economist."
He's a cow doctor.
He's a cow doctor. So that's what he thinks.
He replied, "Ooh."
Jim, who said in a household, husbands and wives disagreed passionately about high-stakes issues like how to raise children, but normal people do not announce that if their spouse does not give in, they will break all the windows in the house. Who said that?
Ed Grimley, I must say.
No, that was a good guess, though. No, Nicholas Kristof.
Very close.
Governing by blackmail that we talked about yesterday from the New York Times. Seriously, look at just any picture of Ted Cruz. Creepiest, weirdest dude.
But he's got that soothing voice.
He looks like Eddie Munster all grown up.
Yeah. Yeah, like Eddie Munster mixed with Ed Grimley. Just he's always
Joe McCarthy.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. This could tip the scales now, Chris. You didn't know this.
What?
Leonard Nimoy has tweeted.
Oh.
Spock approves of Obamacare.
Oh, good.
It's only logical.
Right. And damn it, Jim, he's not a doctor, but he is Spock. He tweeted, members of my family have been denied coverage because of pre-existing conditions. They'll get coverage with Obamacare. He has 700,000 followers.
He
does.
I bet.
Right?
Yes.
And he still has that Vulcan neck grip thing, so look out. Don't
Ted Cruz. How whiny would Ted Cruz get in a Spock death grip? Well, Howard, speaking of happy clappy tweets, Howard Fineman?
Yes.
He tweeted, call me a naive optimist, but perhaps the spectacle of sclerosis, dysfunction, and cynicism we're seeing in D.C. is the last gasp of unreason.
I hope
so.
And he said, yes, and someone's going the way of the Whigs. I think we know who we're talking about.
Oh, Howard Fineman.
Oh, Howard.
You're a scamp.
By the way, you know what? You can tell it's striking when anyone does actual journalism because everybody notices. Everybody's talking about Bob Schieffer to Senator Cornyn this weekend.
Bob Schieffer.
Yeah. Bob Schieffer dabbling in a little journalism this weekend. Mm-hmm. Something new for the Sunday shows. They're checking into it.
Well, I like Bob Schieffer.
Yeah, he was. Ones. No, he. Bob Schieffer to Cornyn. Isn't it wrong to say I won't fund the government unless I can attach my personal wish list every time we vote? Nice.
Good point.
Nicely done. President calling him out yesterday, calling the boner out on the. They're clearly they have done the whip count. There are more. Rachel Maddow took them through all the way. She was very helpful to Boner. She identified at least 217 people that are on record as saying they will vote for a clean resolution.
Huh. There are enough Republican and Democratic votes in the House of Representatives right now to end the shutdown immediately, with no partisan strings attached. The House should hold that vote today. If Republicans and Speaker Boehner are saying there are not enough votes, then they should prove it. Let the bill go to the floor and let's see what happens. Just vote.
Yep.
On the other hand,
I sense he was doing that during that exact.
Yes.
Because, yeah, this is not going to end well for him. I'm just telling you. Wow, even out of Bloomberg News, overwhelming demand for Obamacare shows potential success. They're having a hard time spinning this.
They are.
Millions and millions and millions of people from the second that this was available went online. Obviously, they're going to fix the glitches in the websites. But
yeah. Jake Carney mentioned that yesterday.
Yeah, how do you spin that that's bad?
Yeah.
Yes, Jake.
Well, we're not satisfied with the performance. We can do better. And to make further improvements, we are doing several things at once, including adding server capacity and making software changes to make the system more efficient to handle higher volume.
That sounds like getting on top of the situation.
I was saying yesterday, who was it? Savannah Guthrie, I think, filling in for the Thule David Gregory. Just, it's a hilarious storyline. Obamacare is unpopular. It's unpopular. It's not ready for prime time. It's a train wreck. Obamacare, why weren't you ready for how popular it was going to be? What's wrong with...
It's too popular.
That was just basically reprising her interview. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What's his
That's
name?
A problem. It's too popular. Too many people want it.
Right.
Which is why it must go away.
Wow.
Immediately.
That's almost a bigger disaster than Syria. Now look what you've done. Now you weren't ready for it to
by
be
the way,
popular.
Benghazi.
By the way, John Kerry says things proceeding very nicely in Syria. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Very pleased with the progress so far, getting rid of the chemical weapons.
There have already been some chemical weapons destroyed.
I'm sure a lot of people have already, Republicans have spoken to say, I am sorry, Mr. President.
Yes, of course they have.
My goodness, I am so sorry.
How could I have been so foolish?
You were right. I was wrong. Nicely done, sir. Nicely done on Syria. Good job.
No, nobody. No. Okay.
No.
Of course we will back you whatever you decide to do on Iran, because we're all American. Oh, sorry, wrong music. We're all Americans, sir. Why, thank you, President Obama. And by the way, doesn't it look like Obamacare is off to a rousing start? Why, yes, it is, sir.
That's not going to happen. You're dreaming.
You know what? This is how I can cope now. I've just created an alternate reality in my head where all the Republicans have turned into polite chipmunks. Shush. Everyone needs something.
After you. Oh, no. You first. Thank you.
Bloomberg, you know, that's a
Fuck it.
That's a business outfit, kids.
They tend to lean right.
Yes. Obamacare's opening day drew millions of consumers to the law's core insurance exchanges, offering supporters and investors hope that if the websites can stay up and running, customers will follow. In New York, officials said their exchange had 2.5 million visitors in the first half hour.
If you build it, they will come.
Thank you, Jim. California reported as many as 16,000 hits a second.
Wow. Oof. Damn, that would hurt.
Yeah.
Ouch.
That's like
Bruce
Why are you
Lee.
Hitting yourself? Why are you... Okay. Yeah, that's...
He'd hit you 10 times before he knew he was in the room.
Yeah, that's... Exactly.
What happened?
Whoa! California got it. U.S. officials recorded 2.8 million visitors to White House... To healthcare.gov.
That's right.
That's the site we always mention.
Yeah.
Even as it fought technical problems, the difficulties with the online marketplaces gave new ammunition to Republicans who say the Affordable Care Act doesn't work. Of course it doesn't. We might as well just shut it down now. It's half a day. It had glitches.
We keep hitting it in the head with a shovel and trying to bury it. It's why won't it
die? It needs a total transformation.
Oh, God.
President Obama countered that the volume gives a sense of how important this is to millions of Americans. And the administration official said the marketing of the exchanges will now start to pick up steam. Hello, Station, train, train is gone. Thanks, Republicans.
Choo-choo.
All
aboard. Come on, ride the train. Ride in. Okay.
What?
I'm just trying to get... I'm trying to think of train songs to get Republicans, you know, excited. Let's get excited about this. This is...
Pardon me, boy.
Is that the Chattanooga choo-choo?
Choo-choo.
I got my fare. Okay. Well, I'm just a trifle to spare.
Sorry I started that. I don't know. So, Senate Democrats intend to introduce legislation by midweek to raise the nation's debt limit without the unrelated conditions Republicans have said they intend to seek. Officials said Monday as the White House signaled it would accept a brief extension in the borrowing authority to prevent a default. Harry Reid echoed the president on the floor. He said, I asked the speaker, why are you afraid?
What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Hmm?
Are you afraid this measure will pass, the government will reopen, and Americans will realize you took the country hostage for no apparent reason?
Shut up. Quiet.
The president's refusal to negotiate is hurting our economy and putting our country at risk, Boner said. See, it's the presidency. It's the president. Why is the president?
Well,
the president's shutdown. The president Harry Reid's shutdown is hurting him.
Look at what he did. Or didn't do. I don't know which it is. I need a drink.
I love the conversation talking point, don't you? He said, really, Mr. President? It's time to have that conversation before our economy is put further at risk.
By you.
Right. We've had, as I said yesterday, a number of conversations.
Yeah.
They're called elections. They're called votes. They're called Supreme Court rulings.
We had conversations over the course of 3 or 4 years, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I can tell the because talking away because you can hear Rush doing it.
Oh, a lot of things were legal. One time, I was off land. Well, slavery was legal. Blah, blah, blah.
So we had that guy yesterday.
Yes, we did.
Some right-wing ditto head. Well, separate but equal was legal. Okay. First of all, the Supreme Court struck down, what do you call it, separate but equal.
Right.
They upheld the Affordable Care Act. You lose. Good day, son. Nothing.
You get nothing. You lose. Hmm. Good day, sir.
Slam. 18 minutes after the hour. All right. We
slam?
I did a door slam in my
I
head.
See. Okay.
Listen, I got a whole reality going on that you guys are sort of tangentially part of. You're not really even.
Gangster mic drop.
I need to live in an alternate reality.
I've known that for 15 years.
You can visit, but you cannot stay. It's kind of funny. The other day, yesterday, my foot fell asleep. And I was walking to the bathroom like Laura in Glass Menagerie.
Ah.
And I do. I'm completely her now. I just saw it on Broadway, and I am.
You became her.
Yeah, I'm Laura.
Hmm. All right.
All righty, then.
All right. I'm going to
wear your glass figurines and gentleman collars.
The glass unicorn now. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie.
Don't be a hero, don't be a fool with your life.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Rude Pundit coming up at the bottom of the hour. These are the fun facts from Julie, our friend in Seattle. Oh, this is for, in case you're already on hold, right-wing trolls with this talking point. About, it's law of the land, lots of things are law of the land, blah, 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 blah. Separate but equal troll, hello, because I know you're still listening. Separate but equal in schools was overturned by SCOTUS decision, Brown versus Board of Education.
Yeah.
Decided in 1954.
In the 50s, yes.
Thank you. Separate but equal in public accommodations like lunch counters, hotels, and public buildings was decided by the full Congress passing the 1964 Civil Rights Act.
Yeah, Rand Paul.
It was not undone by a rogue sect of one party shutting down the government by not funding it and threatening to make the whole country an international
deadbeat. It's a little different.
Yeah, just a tiny bit different. And let's review the Affordable Care Act upheld by the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to Keith in Florida. Hello, Keith. Welcome.
Good morning, Stephanie. It's good to talk to you again. I called you once last summer before the election, and I was so surprised you took my call that I had nothing important to say. But today, I might have something.
Okay.
Steve Beshear was on Martin Beshear yesterday, the governor of Kentucky. He's a Republican.
I know. I heard. Isn't that amazing? I heard that audio.
Those two idiots can I don't know how they became our their senators, but I thought it was pretty cool that he thought that they should get over it. It's the law. He's got people in his state to help. That it's going to turn Kentucky more like Massachusetts, like Omnicare.
Yeah, he said, I'm not going to lose this opportunity. He brought experts in that told him how great it would be for Kentucky. And, you know, I mean,
it was just incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
But you'll never see that on ABC.
Yeah, yeah. All right, honey. Thank you. I love Elizabeth Warren posted, we are not a country. Just love her. We are not a country of anarchists. We are not a country of pessimists and ideologues whose motto is, I've got mine, the rest of you are on your own. We are not a country that tolerates dangerous drugs, unsafe meat, dirty air, or toxic mortgages. We are not that nation. We have never been that nation, and we will never be that nation. I was trying to do a rock star cheer. I know it sounded like emphysema. Okay, Dave in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Mama. Good morning. Tap into your bottomless information about the government since you are all knowing. I took my civics class back when Eisenhower was president. So is there any way that Boehner can be just basically overridden, just kind of put him to the side?
Dave, I mentioned this discharge petition, which they technically can do. I mean, I think we're going to have to see how far they're going to take this, if they literally are ready to throw the world into financial collapse.
Well, don't you think if the Republicans are looking for some kind of rebuilding of their reputation, what if, you know, a group of them just really said enough is enough, put this ban into detox and move on? I mean, the nation would have a whole lot more respect for the Republican Party if there were some individuals who said, I have the capability of operating with common sense and for the good of all rather than for myself.
You know, Dave, and the other thing is that they always say follow the money. I mean, more and more articles I read, you know, there's headlines everywhere. You know, some Tea Party congressman find signs of political backlash at home. There's, you know, the big money people, the GOP donors are starting to freak out. They're big business people. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But I think there's a lot of pressure.
It may be time to take Old Orange out to the shed.
Yeah, well, Old Orange should have gone out there a long time ago and had the juice squeezed out of it.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate it. Yeah,
we don't mean that literally.
No, not literally.
Of course not.
Newsbusters.
It was a literary reference. For you old Yeller fans.
Cinematic reference. Well, I guess it was.
It was a book before it was a movie.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. The Washington Post headline, Senate Dems to call GOP's bluff on debt limit. Senate Democrats planning to start the process this week for a Senate vote on that clean CR, as I was mentioning. A move that could call the bluff of Republicans in both chambers and force them to take a stand on whether they will allow the default and economic destruction if Dems don't accept their unilateral demands. The move has the backing of the White House. The idea is Senate Dems will move their own clean debt bill rather than wait for the House GOP to hold its own vote on either a clean CR or funding the government. Which Senate Dems have already passed with broad bipartisan support around a debt limit hike. Dems would be challenging Senate GOP moderates to vote for or against averting default and economic havoc outside of any set of conditions House Republicans insist must be attached to any measure raising the debt limit. A spokesman for Boehner tweeted, POTUS and his advisors keep calling for a clean debt hike. So when will his party in the Senate pass one? Harry Reid tweeted, will you if we do? Now it looks like Senate Dems will do it, although I couldn't determine when the vote would take place or how long the debt limit extension would last. This in the Washington Post. If the Senate can pass a clean debt limit increase and send it to the lower chamber, then House Republicans would then presumably refuse to allow a vote on it, with Boehner now claiming a clean debt limit can't pass the House. That would enable Dems to argue Boehner won't even allow the will of the House to be tested on the debt limit, or either for except for the threat of default. So we'll see. We'll see. Rude Pundit has some... oddly rude stuff this week on this whole thing. Yes. Don't read his whole Scalia and the Devil thing. Dirty, dirty, dirty. 29 minutes after the hour, right back with Rude on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Are you sure?
Stephanie Miller.
You're really ready?
Yes.
I'm ready to quit drinking.
That's not what this is about.
Oh, thank God.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Oh, the good news just keeps coming. Jim, there's a massive salmonella outbreak amid the FDA shutdown.
Yeah. Thanks. Food safety. Who
Thanks,
needs that?
Boner. The outbreak relates to chicken produced at three Foster Farms facilities. 278 reported cases of salmonella affecting people in 18 states, most of which are in California, the main distribution area for the chicken in question.
Great.
Just so you're aware, symptoms include diarrhea, abdominal pains, vomiting, and fever. Welcome to the new America, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Shutdown America. Good luck. Good luck with your chicken.
Welcome to Rand Paulistan.
We live in the libertarian paradise that Rand Paul's only dreamed of. All right. Hey, if a Republican his brains out, how would you notice? Tea Party Republican. Okay.
Sleep up, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning.
How's you enjoying your shutdown?
Oh, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. You know, I was actually in your neck of the woods this past week. I was in Lake Tahoe.
What?
Oh no.
And all of the bathrooms and centers and everything were shut down.
Huh.
There was just a little sign up that says warning plague.
Plague?
Plague, yeah. They've discovered plague in some of the chipmunks and the fleas and the chipmunks.
Terrific. Bubonic plague, next.
Bubonic plague, yes. Awesome. To go with your salmonella.
Awesome.
Great.
Would you like a side of bubonic plague with your salmonella?
Yep,
oh,
yep.
Oh, boy. That is precious. Oh, speaking of the parks, what was this headline? They just get better and better.
Oh, an Arizona Republican lawmaker says that national park thugs are carrying out the work of De Fuhrer.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. You know what? Right. You know what bugs me more than national parks? I just heard this mm-hmm. morning that the families of five soldiers who died in Afghanistan, you know that war where we just celebrated the 13th anniversary of? That's still going on. Yeah, they won't receive the death benefit that that the families of fallen soldiers usually receive because of the shutdown.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep, $100,000 they get to help them with funeral expenses and stuff like that.
Right.
No, screw that.
Rude, you win the award for my favorite use of the C word this week.
Which one?
And listen, that's just like a hello. I get that more before 6 a.m. than most people all day.
From your own staff.
Right. Hello. Coup. You use the word coup. You said the ultimate goal of the effort is to undo the will of the people of the United States by forcing the president to accept the GOP agenda. Let's call it what it is. It's an attempted coup.
Mm-hmm.
The Tea Party, having cowed the leadership of the Republican Party, are attempting to stage a creeping coup by using the Constitution against the nation. The nation is currently being wrecked by a tyranny of the minority, and unfortunately it's up to the cowards leading the Republican Party to stop
it. And if this were a foreign country doing it, we would have bombed them by now.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, what else could it be? If you want to overturn what happened in an election, which is exactly what the Tea Party wants.
Yeah.
And force the leadership to either acquiesce to everything you want, it's a constitutional coup. And you know, everything they're doing is certainly within their rights, according to the rules of the Congress and the Constitution.
Right, as enemies of the United States. I mean, right, as members of the Congress. Right.
Right, but that doesn't mean that they're not doing something that's downright evil, actually. And you know, again, this is one of those times where you think, what if Democrats had done this during the Bush administration? They would have been traitors. I mean, the country would have been, their districts would have been up in flames with people rioting in them.
Did you happen to read this whole, you know, the long front page New York Times piece yesterday in the, Sunday in the Times, a federal budget crisis months in the planning? I mean, it really is sickening and terrifying that this is exactly the way they plan it. This is not something they stumbled into by accident. It is well funded by the Koch brothers and Tea Party groups, right?
Right, right. And it's not only that; it's they campaigned on it. The Tea Party people, you know, the Tea Party people were going to stop Obamacare no matter what, and they were going to keep confronting Obama and keep confronting Obama, and you know, to his credit, Obama finally says, you know what? Screw you guys. We're not negotiating. I'm done. You've used up all your chits with me.
Yeah.
We're done.
Well, and you know, Rude, honestly, I just was shaking my head reading this piece because I thought the final irony is one of the, obviously, the big players in this is the Heritage Foundation. Who thought of this health care plan?
Yeah.
Their plan, and they're spending, I mean, literally these groups, Rude, hundreds of millions of dollars to stop this law, to try to get states not to take Medicaid funding. And you go, what, why? I mean, well, at some point, you don't want to blame everything on race, but you're like, this is just beyond irrational. Do they really think this is going to be this bad for the country? How could it possibly?
Well, and they also, you know, this also gets back to, you know, some of the difficulties we had when there was so much compromising on the part of Democrats early on. Because we all said, if you keep compromising like this, if you give Republicans everything they want.
Rude, you know, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I don't generally step off the happy clappy plantation because I really do think he is a great president, but I have to say, I wish he had not done this the last time. But I think, you know, like you just implied, I really don't think any of us, including the president, really understood the depth of awfulness of this party. Right. And of their lack of interest in anything that will help the American people. I think that he thought in good faith last time they were going to, you know, that they would move forward and negotiate on something. But this is psychosis now.
I have to say, you know, I actually did think they would go this far and have long said that the thing about mother effers is they're always going to F their mothers.
Well, this brings us to your Tyranny by the Minority Part 2, The Reign of Cracker Babies. We all know, those olden folks like us, about crack babies.
Sure.
We're all the rage.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Right,
sure.
Right. You say, however, now we're seeing the plague of the cracker babies, these primarily white people who grew up insulated in communities that have beliefs about God, guns, and America, who became resentful of people different than them, who might have gotten help from the government, who watched Fox News since it started, listened to conservative talk radio before that, who've been pandered to and exploited by opportunists and snake oil salesmen who made them think their stunted intellectual development is an asset, well, now in the grip of their electoral choices, which includes even some of their own. And that's where we are.
Yeah, we are being ruled by the stupidest among us. And I'm sorry, you know what? I'm white. I get to call other whites crackers.
Right.
So
you said we are in a nation held hostage by idiots elected by idiots.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like we value this Forrest Gump like idiocy as if somehow there's some grace in it. You could say that's how we got George Bush as president.
Yes.
But who would have thought we now would pine for his intellectual acumen?
Although under Tea Party rule, life is not a box of chocolates. It just looks like it. It's actually a box of.
I believe he said he had to pee.
So, you know, that's the thing. We've sat here and we've said, well, okay, you know, let's actually give consideration to the things that they have to say instead of saying, no, your stupid ideas are stupid, and we shouldn't be considering them in a rational discussion at all.
Well, and you say it in a way that only you can. Is this intellectual elitism? You well bet it is. By pretending that the beliefs of Yahoo's crackers and cousin-ers are worthy of consideration in the public sphere, we've degraded the nation to the point that, well, they have successfully taken over one chamber of Congress by essentially threatening the leadership of the GOP with a banjo accompanied raping while they giggle out their last couple of teeth. Now, Rude...
And you know what? I grew up among these people. You know, I have many friends that have giggled out teeth.
Their last couple?
Yeah, and some of them even try to
plink,
friend me
plink.
On Facebook.
Right.
But one glance at their page makes me think, no, you know what? Let's just leave that relationship in the past. And that's,
you know, it's interesting. We're talking to Charlie Pierce next hour, and you guys both touched on the same thing. I mean, is how this whole fight is going to play out within the Republican Party, the teabaggers and big business and Wall Street, who are basically a brick at this point. You say the teabaggers owe little to nothing to Wall Street or to big business. The anarchists we now have in the House don't give a happy monkey about the backing of banking whores and portfolio pimps. You want a deregulation, mother? Here you go. If we default on the debt, the days of even milquetoast laws like Dodd-Frank will seem like salad days. I've got to say, they've got to be just as or more nervous than we are because people in the financial industry know what would happen, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, this is the beast they awakened. This is the beast they created through redistricting, the beast they created through things like, you know, Coke-funded super PACs. And now they're gonna get screwed by the beast.
Yeah, yeah. It's I mean, and that's the thing is, how is this going to play out and when? I mean, what's your best guess at this point?
My best guess at this point is that I think we need a constitutional crisis. I think we need the president to say if by next week they haven't raised the debt ceiling through a clean bill, that the president needs to declare that, to take that 14th Amendment route,
yeah,
and say that he is obligated by the Constitution, the United States is obligated by the, yeah, Constitution to pay its debts, and let's go to the Supreme Court.
Yeah,
you know?
Rude. I honestly think you may be right. Because as we know from the last time, you don't even have to default for this to hurt the economy and get us downgraded again. I mean,
well, it's already hurting the economy.
Everybody keeps making the playing with fire. Somebody compared Boehner to, you know, standing next to oily rags with a torch, you know, because even the way he's talking about it is roiling markets and hurting the economy, right?
Right, right. And what he said on one of the talk shows, I guess this past weekend, you know, we may well default on the debt, and it's stunning to me that he would think that there wouldn't be some place they wouldn't go to try to extort something from the president and the Democrats.
And if the U.S. economy falters, then the rest of the world isn't far behind.
Oh, no, no. I mean, you know, China.
I was just going to say China, but yeah, meanwhile, it's behind us going, gulp.
Yeah.
We'd like our money, please.
Yeah. Are you crazy?
China's got to be losing its mind right now.
They are. They put out a statement yesterday saying,
yes,
that pretty much they're losing their mind.
Yeah. 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 Do something about
up in
it.
There.
And
up in there.
I honestly think that at some point the president's just going to have to. It's a constitutional crisis is going to have to be provoked.
Yep.
And it's going to have to be over what are the obligations of the nation under the Constitution in paying its debt.
There's also this discharge petition idea. What do you think of that?
Oh, I think that the cowardly Republicans who claim that they would vote for a clean continuing resolution will wimpily fall away and won't vote for it and will be stuck in the same position.
Mm.
Do you really want to place your faith in Peter King?
You have a point. All right. Rudeness, I did not recommend for the kids your whole thing about the devil and Antonin Scalia. Dirty, 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 dirty. But he is a weird dude, and that piece is terrifying.
So, yeah. So whatever you do, don't go to rudepundit.blogspot.com and read it.
Particularly if you're a youngin'.
Yes, yes. I would like to think that I'm teaching young America ways that they can refer to their elders.
Yes, he had so many thoughts about the devil that you had some thoughts about how the devil might deal with him at some point. It's a theoretical thing. It's sort of.
Is it? Is it?
Is it?
Okay. Is it theoretical?
All right. If a Supreme Court lunatic, never mind. I was going to do a philosophy class question. All right. Love you, Rude Pundit. See you next week, honey, if there is one. A week or a country. Love you.
Bye.
Okay, bye. 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
I suspect you may not be talking about the railroad.
Get it, get it, get it, get on the healthcare train, get it.
I have a
get it,
suspicion that there may be some meaning to
alternative meaning to the song.
Yes,
yes.
I just tell you, my spidey senses tell me there's something else going on.
Oh, a train going into a long train going into a dark tunnel.
Can't imagine what that could be about.
All right. Jim, who said it is the view of every Republican in this body, and indeed every Republican in the House, that Obamacare should be entirely and completely repealed. Nonetheless, the House started with a compromise of saying not repealing Obamacare, but simply that it should be defunded. Who said that?
Heinrich Himmler.
Oh, that was a good guess this time. No, Senator Ted Cruz.
Close.
Whose idea of compromise? Someone irritated.
Ah!
Okay. Right. Isn't that nice of them? Isn't that sweet? Isn't that really just magical? He always has that sad, sad look.
I'm so disappointed.
Why, we're being so reasonable. We're offering you a compromise of completely defunding your signature legislation that was passed both houses of Congress and upheld by the Supreme Court and then in two elections. I am just sad, Mr. President. I am sad. Harry Reid, President Obama, shut down. Harry Reid, why?
Why would you do that? Why?
Okay, the president challenged the boner to prove that he does not have the votes to pass a clean continuing resolution through the House to end the government shutdown. He said if Republicans and Speaker Boehner are saying there are not enough votes, then they should prove it.
The reason that Speaker Boehner hasn't called a vote on it is because he doesn't apparently want to see the government shutdown end at the moment.
Aha. He said, my suspicion is, it's a very strong suspicion, there are enough votes there. And the reason Speaker Boehner hasn't called a vote is because he apparently can't, does not want to see the government shut down at the end at the moment unless he's able to extract concessions that don't have anything to do with the budget. We see you, Boehner. and meanwhile, the train moves on. Here's some happy news. Under Obamacare, Disney World will promote its part-time workers to full-time status.
Huh.
The happiest place on earth just got a little happier.
It's a world of laughter, a world of
you know you're bobbing your head. You know you're doing it. Walt Disney Company announced on Wednesday it is offering full-time employment to the 427 part-time employees of Disney World Theme Park in Orlando who work at least 30 hours per week, the threshold of which the Affordable Care Act it requires large employers with 50 or more employers to offer basic health care employees or risk paying a $2,000 per employee fine after the first 30 workers. See? This is what we should do. Applaud the good companies, the good guys. Instead of, that's what I'm saying. Just because your boss is going to be a douche, so you don't go, oh, it's the bonus bulb. Disney already offers a level of health coverage that is acceptable under Obamacare to its full-time employees, but part-time workers, including those who work at the 30-hour cutoff set by the health law, receive more limited benefits instead of rolling back those workers' hours to avoid expanding their health coverage. Disney is choosing to promote them to full-time status.
Aww.
Disney wants to be proactive, said the union that represents all these employees. Disney is way out in front on this. Gosh, they are going to get really good quality employees. Huh. In fact, Disney's decision tracks with a recent survey of chief financial officers at large American firms, finding that American companies actually intend to increase the number of full-time employees by almost 2% over the next year, despite repeated claims by Obamacare critics that the reform law will create a part-time economy, discourage hiring, or encourage employers to roll back workers' hours to avoid Obamacare. Thank you, Uncle Walt. There's a certain point where then that starts to make you psychotic, that song. This is all good fun. It's all fun and good.
Eine kleine Welt.
Right? It's all fun and games, and then there's a certain point where something clicks in your brain.
Well, the ride at Disneyland is 13 minutes long. Can you take that for 13 minutes?
No. Okay. Something about halfway through, people begin to turn.
Yeah. Somewhere in Italy. Yeah. And
we should try blasting that at Congress. What do you think?
Hey.
That could wear down even the Tea Party. Look how happy it is at Disney because they have...
22-11.
No, make it stop. Make it stop.
All right.
I'm sure. Praise God.
Lawrence in St. Paul, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Lawrence.
Hey, I get to be your sacrificial lamb because I demand that you treat me like the ignorant American voter that permeates American landscape. And here's the thing. I'm listening to both sides, and I just want to know who in the heck is Obama talking about. And don't forget, I'm an ignorant American voter. I don't know who John Boehner is. I don't care. But I
he's the orange empty head on your TV this October that is not a pumpkin.
And I agree with that. But the dumb voter, the American uninformed voter, knows this. But and the thing about it, when I heard John Boehner talking to George Stephanopoulos, and he was like, I told the president, wait a minute, you told the president? He don't get to tell the president.
No, you don't get right. You get told. You get schooled. You don't tell the president. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. 6 minutes after the hour, CharliePierce of Esquire.com at the bottom of the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, here's one bright spot.
Oh?
Sex toy store offering free vibrators to furloughed government employees.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Vibrators.com. Aw. Offering free vibrators to furloughed government employees. According to the company, the giveaway has been quite successful. As of Sunday night, we have hit our quota for the evening. We will be allocating 200 more free vibes on Monday sometime.
Vibes?
Vibes is what they call them.
Is that what they call them in the biz?
Yes.
Okay.
Apparently.
Huh.
Do not get your vibrator mixed up with your Ted Cruz bug zapper, because that could be painful. Ah! Could I have some comedy music, please? There really is no difference between reality and comedy these days. Our friend Andy Borowitz... Ted Cruz, destroying the entire planet, the best way to stop Obamacare. Senator Ted Cruz raised the ante in the battle over the Affordable Care Act on Sunday, telling CNN's Candy Crowley that destroying the entire planet is really the best and only way to stop Obamacare. Look, I'm in favor of shutting down the government and not raising the debt ceiling, but let's not kid ourselves. Those are only half measures. If we're really serious about stopping Obamacare, we'll destroy the entire planet. Explaining his proposal to a visibly alarmed Crowley... Senator Cruz said Obamacare is like a parasite that needs a host to feed on. If you want to kill the parasite, you kill the host. In this case, that means killing the planet. As long as there's a planet Earth, the nightmare of Obamacare could always come screaming back to life. The Texas senator refused to speculate on whether there were enough votes in Congress to support his proposal of obliterating the Earth. But he ended his interview on a personal note. Candy, I don't want my children and my children's children to live in a world with Obamacare. And the best way to guarantee that is by destroying the world.
Yes.
The horrors of Obamacare. Worse than destroying the
planet. At least our children are safe. Okay. Oh, Paul writes, Steph, I saw the video of Boner on This Week saying he wants a serious discussion. The son of the president gets serious. Have a conversation.
Why are you serious? Or XM, I don't care which one.
He wants about the deficit that's going crazy or something, blah, blah, blah. Why doesn't anyone say the obvious right to his face? The deficit has been cut in half and is going down faster than any time since World War II.
Oh, that.
And some economists are worried it's getting paid down too quickly.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that the obvious thing to ask them when they rant about the deficit, which they always do, and yet, facts be damned, no one confronts them. Oh, by the way, you're costing us $300 million a day.
That's a Beyonce.
Shutdown. Beyonce, as our friend Jen Kirkman said yesterday, you are costing us a Beyonce a day.
Wow.
When we get into Oprah a day, my friends. Irmagerdon.
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 It's even worse than Armageddon.
Third of the world.
Right.
Irmagerdon.
Right. Exactly. Jim, who said there's no such thing as a debt ceiling in this country because it's never been not increased and that's why we're $17 trillion in debt? And I would dispel the rumor that's going around here on every newscast, if we don't raise the debt ceiling, we'll default on our debt. We won't. We'll continue to pay our interest, we'll continue to redeem bonds, and we'll issue new bonds to replace those. Who said that? Actually, no, that was correct. That was correct.
Okay.
Or, in other words, Senator Tom Coker.
Right.
Senator. Oklahoma.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oakley Dokley. Okay. Yeah, it's no big deal. That's all you can. Oh, our friend Michael Tomasky, who I want to date and kiss and marry, he identifies the three talking points we're going to hear.
Oh.
And I started to hear that yesterday on Rush. It's not so bad.
It's not a big deal. Well, they were crying, oh, the world's going to end, the sequestration, nothing happened, it's shut down, it's all fine. And then, blah, blah.
Tell that to people who aren't getting paychecks.
Yeah, maybe he should not get a check for a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the by, I got to go see Real Time with Bill Maher as part of Team Grayson, Rick Overton and I, representing for Alan in the audience, who was he was awesome, as he always is, rock star.
And there are pictures of you and Alan Grayson and Carl Reiner up on your Facebook page.
Drunk at the after party. Howdy do. Okay. Anyway, but I wanted to play a clip to show you how great he was.
I want to correct this one idea they have that Americans don't like Obamacare, because I see this poll all the time. 54% of Americans are against Obamacare. Not really true, because 16% of that 54% want it to be more left. They want single payer.
Yep.
So it's really only 38% of the people who are on your team.
I don't think that's right.
Those are facts.
Right.
We're not arguing opinion now. Those are the facts.
And these are people who recognize that there's a fundamental, conflict of interest between you and your insurance company. Even if we switch to no government involvement at all, people would still get insurance, and they'd be in a situation where every time you needed care, you were taking money out of the pockets, the profit of your insurance companies. And we haven't taken a step beyond that. But Obamacare does do useful things. It's put 4 million people who are up to the age of 26 on the rolls by joining their parents' plans. It's closed 3/4 of the donut hole, so seniors don't have to choose between their medicine and paying their rent. It has taken 35 million people, including my wife, by the way, 35 million people who couldn't get insurance because of a pre-existing condition, now they can. And now insurance companies, if you have expensive care, can't literally pull the plug on you when you're in a coma. Those are all good things, and those are all things that the Tea Party is desperate to eliminate.
I could have done that.
Yeah.
Nothing. In other words, it's the worst thing to ever happen to this country.
Exactly. Right. I don't know if all y'all's read the New York Times piece. It just, when you think you cannot get more infuriated, we talked about this a little yesterday, but a federal budget crisis, months in the planning, when you look at the planning and the money that is behind this, and you're like, but for what? To stop 30 million people? All that stuff that Congressman Grayson just said, to stop that? I mean, it really almost defies any kind of logic, particularly because, as I said, the Heritage Foundation, which is one of the groups behind this, thought of this idea.
Right, because it promoted personal responsibility.
Yes.
Can we deport the Koch brothers?
Yeah. Shortly after President Obama started his second term, a loose-knit coalition of conservative activists led by former Attorney General Edwin Meese gathered in the Capitol to plot strategy. Their push to repeal Mr. Obama's health care law was going nowhere, and they desperately needed a new plan. Trust me, this is exactly the plan. This is what Michelle Bachmann said. She's like, this is exactly what we wanted, and we got it. Hooray!
The North, as gay as it has.
Yay! Yay! Out of that session, held one morning in a location members insist on keeping secret, came a little notice blueprint to defunding Obamacare. It's a thing. It's a written thing.
Yeah.
Signed by Mr. Meese and leaders of more than 36 conservative groups, including the Cokesuckers, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. It articulated a take-no-prisoners legislative strategy that long percolated in conservative circles. The Republicans could derail the health care overhaul if conservative lawmakers were willing to push fellow Republicans, including their cautious leaders, into cutting off financing for the entire federal government.
Poof. Fantastic.
We felt very strongly at the start of this year that the House needed to use the power of the purse, said Heritage Action hole butt head guy.
I doubt that's his official title.
At least at the Heritage Action.
That's the one you can see on the air.
We felt very strongly from the start that this was a fight that we were going to pick. Last week, the country witnessed the fallout from that strategy, a standoff that has shuttered much of the federal bureaucracy and unsettled the nation. To many Americans, the shutdown came out of nowhere. That's the sum of the polling. This is the, every person in America has to read this article because it's like, what? How did this? We weren't paying attention. How did this happen?
Who greenlighted that?
Interviews with a wide array of conservatives show the confrontation that precipitated the crisis was the outgrowth of a long-running effort to undo the law. Since its passage in 2010, waged by a galaxy of conservative groups with more money, organized tactics, and interconnections than is commonly known. Isn't that something? Oh, there's even a toolkit, a defunding toolkit.
Oh, nice.
Created in early September, including talking points for the question, what happens when you shut down the government and you're blamed for it? The suggested answer was the one House Republican. We've seen that repeated everywhere this weekend. We are simply calling to fund the entire government, except for the Affordable Care Act. Obamacare. That's all we're doing. Yeah, I told you, I saw Ted Cruz sing exactly that. He was very good. He's a good tool. He's the best tool in the toolkit. But he did a little hop up when he did that, except for Obamacare. And then he did a little Ed Grimley hop. Like a big
I must
door.
Say. Ed Grimley, also Canadian, I must say.
The current budget brinkmanship is just the latest development in a well-financed, broad-based assault on the health law. The billionaire Koch brothers, yep. Charles and David, there they are again. Hold your calls. Have been deeply involved with financing the overall effort. We view this as a long-term effort, said the president of Americans Prosperity Sticks.
Flavin.
Right. He said his group expected to spend tens of millions of dollars on a multi-front effort that includes working to prevent states from expanding Medicaid.
A long-term
Isn't that
project.
Nice?
Like a thousand-year Reich?
Isn't that nice? Spending money that could be used for so many other things to stop poor people from getting health care. Isn't that precious? Yes, hundreds of millions of dollars is the way it's explained in the New York Times, have been raised and spent since 2012 by organizations, many of them loosely connected, leading opposition to the measure. I honestly don't get it. What is behind this? What generation opportunity? How about the youth-oriented outfit behind the Creepy Uncle Sam ads?
Yep.
You know, the one that's... Yeah.
For the,
They spent $750,000 on that effort.
On that ad?
Aimed at dissuading young people.
The paper mache Uncle Sam head?
Right, right. That guy with the forceps and the glove and the, I don't know. It's aimed at dissuading young people from signing up for insurance because, yeah, God forbid, you'd hate to have any
paper mache right. Uncle Sam will right. put his head up your,
right.
up your cooter. Yeah.
When Senator Richard Burr, North Carolina Republican, said defunding the law was the dumbest idea I ever heard, the Fund bought a radio ad to attack him. Two other Republican senators up for re-election, Lindsey Graham, well-known Southern Belle, mm-hmm. and Lamar Alexander, both faced Tea Party challenges. While conservatives believe the public will back them on defunding, a recent poll by the Kaiser Family Foundation found a majority, 57%, disapproves of cutting off funding as a way to stop the law. And as Bill Maher was saying that we just played, that is really worth remembering, is a nice chunk of the people that they say, oh, they're against it. It's because they want single payer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or a public option or a more liberal plan.
I think you said about 16% right. of that.
17, I believe.
Or 17.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
I know. But anyway, so... All right, and yay, Alan Grayson. Hooray! Rock star! 70.
He's handsome and romantic.
Superstar.
Do you want to...
Yes, he's handsome and he's romantic.
Do you want to kiss Mary and date him?
Yeah, no, he mentioned his wife in that thing. Of course not. 70.
Well, of course, the Tomoskis...
Well, Mrs. Tomosky can suck eggs, as I've said before. 18 minutes
what
after...
What about
the...
Mrs. Seska?
18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-1-2. Stephanie Miller. I said, come here, cutie. I flip up around and then I work that booty. I came here tonight to hear the crowd go.
Yeah. You hit 23 minutes after the hour. That's what the president said, essentially.
There's not a subject that I am not willing to engage in, work on, negotiate, and come up with common sense compromises on. We're not going to negotiate under the threat of a prolonged shutdown.
Yeah, by the way, I was looking at a piece, we were saying about, you know, what pressure is going to come to bear on who. Mm-hmm. There's a piece, I believe HuffPo, far-right Republicans could hit a tipping point as support falters. Charlie Pearson, we'll talk to you in a couple of minutes, says bull and also about that. He does not believe that will be a factor, but I am hopeful. HuffPo writing, tension is brewing in the Republican Party as the federal government shutdown enters its seventh day and far-right members of the GOP show no sign of letting up. The shutdown is bringing the Republican Party to a boiling point, angering GOP fundraisers and throwing a wrench in the works for the upcoming 2014 elections. Oh, dear.
Uh-oh.
So unfortunate. Couldn't happen to a nicer group. People are totally annoyed, one GOP fundraiser told the Washington Post.
Totally?
Totally.
Totally annoyed.
What is your main damage, Tea Party?
God, eh?
It appears we've got a bunch of crazies running around, one from Texas and some from some other places, said a former finance chairman for the RNC.
Without naming names.
There are a lot of major donors who feel until the Republican Party can field people who have a vested opinion of what to do and do it in a prompt and efficient way, we're going to be withholding giving money. The traditional governing wing of the Republican Party is fed up with this dysfunction, the no to everything, this refusal to engage the other side to find solutions, said another major GOP donor. So we will see Jay Carney, the president's Carney yesterday.
He will not raise the debt ceiling if Republicans do not get what they want. That's highly reckless and irresponsible.
Yeah, we're an upside-down world where the boner said it would be irresponsible of him to raise the debt ceiling without, you know, the prerequisite right. hostage negotiations. Right. Stanley in Indianapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Stanley.
Good morning. Yeah, good morning. I wanted to talk about the shutdown real quick, but it occurred to me waiting that I got to believe that the debt ceiling will eventually be raised without the crisis, because it just, you mentioned the Koch brothers, just there's just too many fat cats out there who would be devastated also by this. So it isn't just, you know, our individual 401ks that would plummet and everything. So it would be a worldwide crisis that would
Stanley,
affect the fat cats.
No, but, you know, you're right, that you wonder if there's going to be a moment where even they sit back and think, oh, my God, what have I wrought? Because they want, make no mistake, they want Obamacare repealed.
Wall Street's not happy about
right.
this.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think they're willing to go into their own personal financial ruin to see this happen. The Koch brothers included. The shutdown. It occurred to me.
Stanley, I was asking when I was just reading the story, you know, from the Times. Why do you think this is almost reaching psychosis? I mean, I don't even get why they would want to spend this much of their own money to stop this. What is the harm to them exactly?
Well, who knows? But the Koch brothers have been, it's been well documented. They've been using these Tea Party guys. They finance them, and they've been profiting off of them by manipulating things. So there's, you know, there's a whole studies have done. These guys are profiting off of their youthful idiots. I mean, the Koch brothers are smarter than the Ted Cruz. I don't think they're true believers in what those guys are doing. They're just useful pawns for them to profiteer off this whole nonsense that's been going on for two, 3 years.
They probably could even dreamed of someone like Ted Cruz. Where could we find somebody that dopey? That would just say exactly what kind of tool would read exactly what's in the toolkit?
Hammer, wrench, screwdriver.
Hours or whatever the hell it was. Okay. Cindy in Michigan. Hi, Cindy. Welcome. Hello,
Hi.
Cindy. Hi.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Hello. Steph, Chris, Jim. What that guy just said, I just have a curiosity. The fat cats, have they moved their investments preparing for this? That's one thing. The Social Security part of it, this is interesting. This shows that the Republicans are totally not fit for office because they don't even know anything about macroeconomics or the big picture, and they don't even put two and two together that if you mess with the bond market and deflate bonds by not raising the debt ceiling, you have messed up Social Security big time.
Yeah. Oh, and, I mean, it's a parade of horribles. It really is. This is, I find, hopeful, although we'll see if Charlie thinks it is bull and also. However, Washington Post, some Tea Party congressmen find signs of political backlash at home. I mean, this is what we've been saying forever. It's going to be the GOP establishment, big money guys versus these Tea Party groups. And who wins?
Someone's going to get tread on.
Yeah, West Michigan, long a bastion of mainstream mannerly conservatism, voted in. This is a seat once held by Gerald Ford. Justin Amash.
Our long national nightmare is over.
No, it's just beginning. He couldn't even have dreamed of this. He's a 33-year-old revolutionary, as they say in the Tea Party. A leader of the House Party, the Tea Party faction that helped force the government shutdown. But within Grand Rapids' powerful business establishment, patience is running low with his ideological agenda and tactics. Some business leaders are recruiting a Republican primary challenger who they hope will serve the old-fashioned way by working the inside game and playing nice to gain influence and solve problems for the district. Wow, what? They are tired of Tea Party governance, Washington Post saying. Similar efforts underway in at least three other districts, one in Detroit, others in North Carolina and Tennessee, where business leaders are backing primary campaigns against Republican congressmen who have alienated party leaders. The races mark a notable shift in a party in which most recent primary challenges have come from the right. So, I mean, good. Let them throw all their money around. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? The Tea Party's throwing money at far-right crazies, the Republican establishment. You fight it out. Let us know how it works out. And open our country again. 29 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Sex, lies, puberty, betrayal, relay races.
Stephanie Miller.
Reflects the drama of the human experience, and isn't that the essence of art?
It's friggin' hot. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Oh, Tuesday. There's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
It's our conductor on the... Oh, the reign of morons train. Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
I'll tell you guys, I listened to the show yesterday driving my daughter back to college. I listened to the whole show on Sirius XM.
Yeah.
I wanted to throw a raincoat over all of you.
Oh, really?
All the vibrator talk, honestly.
Oh.
All right, sorry.
Stuff you don't get on Washington Week in Review. That's
no.
Right.
There you go.
Yet.
There you go. We have been enjoying your...
What's that faint buzzing behind Charles Krauthammer? Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Hey, yikes. Is that a facial expression? Charlie Pierce, as you call it, the reign of morons, you're the only man to be able to take us through it. It is
now,
just...
Now entering its second smash week.
Yes. Yes. You know, as you know, I'm a little happy clappy. Not a lot of happy clappiness to have found. You say you'll forgive me at the moment. I decline to believe we will be saved from the reign of morons by unicorns, the Easter Bunny, or reasonable Republicans in either House of Congress who would gladly vote with the Democrats. I was just mentioning the two stories you were talking about whether major GOP donors are going to force them to be reasonable or blah, blah, blah. And you said bull and also...
I want to see it, okay? I mean, it's very easy to be brave when you're talking, when you're an NBC researcher is batting her eyes at you, or when your local newspaper calls you up. I want to see these guys get up in the well of the House of Representatives and submarine their speaker in support of the Kenyan Muslim usurper in the White House, okay? And then I want to see them face the absolutely unshirted hell they'll catch as soon as they do that.
Yeah. Well,
these guys will be the rhinos, the 2D rhino. I mean, there will be nobody to match their treachery among the really kind of rabid end of their political spectrum. I frankly don't think there are 25 of them who can do that. I don't think there are 5 of them who will do that. Peter King,
well,
God bless him, I think he will. Okay, he said he will. I think he'll actually get up and vote for it because he looks incredibly fed up. But some of these guys, no, I don't think
well,
so.
Well, Charlie, I was saying earlier about obviously follow the money, as we always say, but you made an important point. You said even assuming the powerful business establishment, quote-unquote, can find a sap to take on the suicide mission of running, you know, against these Tea Party guys, said sap would soon find the wrath of organized money and organized power bringing his world down around his earlobes. Maybe the sap can raise some coin from the local farm equipment blah, 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 but the Kochs can buy and sell any big cheese in Grand Rapids 15 times over and have money to spare to hire a team of assassins to kill his dog. And that's not even to mention that the sap in question would immediately become ground zero bombardment from Rush and Sean and Mark and Laura and all the little Rushes and Seans and Marks and Lauras in the local talk radio universe in Michigan. Good luck finding someone dumb enough to sign up for that misery. That could be, right?
I mean, I think it's what we have to assume until it's proven otherwise. I don't see a lot of profiles in courage in this House of Representatives. You know, every time it comes down, you know, every time that, you know, will you vote for the continuing resolution? Will you vote for the discharge petition? No, not me. Let's see who stands up and actually votes for it. I do think it deserves a vote. It deserves to be put on the floor. But am I sanguine about it passing? No.
You said the reign of morons is many things, but one of its obvious causes is the complete failure of political courage within the Republican Party. You say what you will about Victor Frankenstein. He chased his creation to the ends of the earth. Where are the Republicans who are willing to ride the ice flow?
It's alive! It's alive!
Yes. Yes. Sadly, the Tea Party is still alive.
Hugh Jim Ward's Colin Clive imitation.
Big call for that.
Well, you know, what do you do, Charlie? You got China clearing its throat, you know, making
we'd
a
like
noise.
Our, we'd like our money back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You bunch of deadbeats.
Yeah. Yeah. What? So how do you see this playing
Maybe
out?
China's going to send, they have enough people to do it. They could send people over here to, like, break all our legs.
Right.
Because
right.
We haven't paid our debts back.
Yeah.
Yeah, collectively. Oof, yikes. Charlie, what do you see? How do you see this playing out?
I think we go sailing blithely over the cliff. And I don't know what's at the bottom of the cliff, but we're going to be dead before we hit the ground anyway, so it's not going to matter.
Oh,
no,
God.
I'm serious.
You're so happy this morning. You're just trying to make me feel better.
Honest to God, show me a way out. Yeah. Show me a way out that doesn't require John Boehner having political courage.
You know what sums it up is the clip everybody's playing. I can't remember his name, the Republican that said, you know,
Marlon Stutzman.
Right. We are not going to be disrespected like this. We have to get something out of this. I'm not even sure
exactly
what that is.
I am not one of your fans.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
no, and we had Scott Garrett from New Jersey today, or yesterday, I guess it's in today's papers, saying that we're not going to settle for just chain CPI. We're in this to defund Obamacare. So we're back to square minus one again with some of these guys. And this guy's from New Jersey. This guy is from, you know, Alabama or someplace.
Yeah. And yet, you know, you talk about, like, some political courage. You saw the governor of Kentucky, right? Did you see that everywhere?
Yeah, the governor. Well, but the governor saying, of Kentucky's a Democrat.
Well, but it's still Kentucky. And, I mean, that's the thing is, you know, you talk about...
governors are a different breed. Governors, right. Except for the, you know, nutty ones, like, you know...
Brewer.
Brewer and even Brewer took the Medicaid money.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, she
I mean, she did it in the middle of the night in an alley, you know, with an overcoat with a bag over her head, but she did it.
Her bony hand reaching out.
Perry and
Give me the bag of money.
Perry and Jindal and Scott and these guys, yeah. I mean, the outside of them... I mean, they look, and, you know, Scott Walker's trying to do it without doing it, pretty much. But, you know, these are governors who are looking up and seeing, oh, free money. Me some, too, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, the governors who take it understand that it's good for their states if they do it. And that's why I think Beshear down in Kentucky has made he's been out in front on it and made the best case for it. And of course, you know, in addition, he's lighting a fire under, you know, Senator Aquabuda and the turtle. I mean, you know, I always thought, like, I mean, without question, Oklahoma has the dumbest, senatorial delegation of all time in Imhoff and Coburn.
Right. Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, Kentucky's got a real prize on their hands, too.
Just starting with you, I'm sure you watch Meet the Press because you write about these such things every week. But, yeah, I was on the phone with
Savannah Guthrie.
Oh.
You know, I didn't quite realize that my desk was as hard as it was until I applied my head to it about nine times in a row.
I know. But
poor Savannah. I mean, she has on her day job, she has all those wonderful, happy people outside her window waving at her, you know? And now she's got to go on there, and Rand Paul goes completely off the trolley, and she can't stop him.
Yeah, I know. And starting with, I was on the phone with a friend. She's like, he looks like a hobo. Like, I was saying that's hair. Needs some government regulation. It really does.
Yesterday he's got completely deregulated hair, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, my friend was like, doesn't he have kids? Couldn't someone have gone, Dad, you're not going to go out like that?
Put on a hat. He at least needs some controlled liberty up there.
Something.
Yeah.
Right.
The jackboot tyranny of gel.
All right, we can't top that one. We got to go. Love you, Charlie Pierce.
Hey, keep an eye on the bottom of the cliff because it's coming up fast.
Only Jan Brewer always wore a bag over her head.
See you later.
See you later. We will check in next week on the Reign of Morons, assuming that he's not right and we are all goodbye by then. Okay, in a completely unrelated story, China tells U.S., They kind of own our asses. Pay attention.
Yeah.
Just saying, this is bad. Everybody, pay attention now. Tells the U.S. to avoid debt crisis for the sake of the global economy. A senior Chinese official has warned that the clock is ticking to avoid...
The clock is ticking.
Oh, stop it.
I'm Harry Reasoner.
To avoid a U.S. default that could hurt China's interest in the global economy... by the way, China, as I mentioned, the U.S. largest creditor. Did I mention that?
They're pretty much cradling the U.S.'s rainbows in their hands.
They make the microchips that are in all our airplanes and battleships and submarines.
So time to call in those markers.
Oh, we flipped the switch. Oops.
Quote-unquote naturally concerned about developments in the U.S. fiscal cliff. He said China and the U.S. are inseparable. Beijing is a huge investor in U.S. Treasury bonds. The executive branch of the U.S. government has to take decisive and credible steps to avoid a default on its Treasury bonds. It is important for the U.S. economy as well as the global economy. We hope the United States fully understands the lessons of history, referring to the last time when we got downgraded because of the same morons. President Obama said he would not negotiate under the threat of economic catastrophe. He said, by the way, I don't know if you've heard this fun fact anywhere else. He mentioned he and the Democrats in Congress have already agreed to fund the U.S. government at the levels that were favorable to Republicans.
Yeah.
These are the levels they asked for.
They won't take yes
for
an answer.
Right.
Yeah.
Jake Carney.
He will not raise the debt ceiling if Republicans do not get what they want. That's highly reckless and irresponsible.
No, you can just suck it. I don't give a damn. I'll be in the bar.
Here are some fun facts from Michael Tomasky, our friend at the Daily Beast. Three debt ceiling lies you'll hear from the GOP this week. And by the way, by the time I read this, there's already been two of those callers.
Yes.
Two of the trolls already had these. The roof is finally starting to fall in on these serial liars, and I want you to be part of the growing army of Americans that knows a lie when it hears one. You can be highly trained like we are to spot lies and, the, and lying liars on our phone lines.
Tomosky is nothing if not helpful.
Yes, indeed. Number one, a default wouldn't really be that bad. See, you can hear it on Rush first, and then the troll callers echo it.
Yeah.
This is a bad move. They all the sky was falling, the sequester and the shutdown is fine. Everything's fine.
Well, so
from what
paycheck.
I can see on my veranda and my adult beverages.
The same is happening now. They just don't believe the doomsayers. It's liberal propaganda, just like all that hooey that gets talked about with the polar ice cap melting. So you're going to start hearing this idiocy again. Be forewarned. People who persuaded themselves that default won't have serious ramifications are people capable of doing and certainly of saying anything. Number two, Obama's a big hypocrite because he voted against the debt limit increase while Bush was president. Oh, I just saw two people hang up. They had that one. Yes, he did cast such a vote, but no, he's not a hypocrite. Not even a small one. The reason is simple. Democrats made no threats when they cast their votes. They knew they were going to lose and had no real intention of winning. The Democrats' votes, Obama's included at the time, weren't purely symbolic. The Republicans controlled the Senate 55-45. The increase in the debt limit, the fourth in George W. Bush's tenure, passed with three Republicans voting with all the Democrats. But the Democrats knew they were going to lose. They were in the minority. Duh. Tomosky writes. I just like a man that writes duh. Duh. Duh.
That's the only reason you want to date
duh.
Him.
They did not choose to filibuster, which they could have done and which would have meant the Republicans needed 60 votes. If they'd done so, it would have been hardball. And in that case, Obama would have been a participant in a real threat against American creditworthiness. Even then, it wouldn't have been the same as what the GOP is doing now unless those 45 Democrats had demanded, that Bush rescind his tax cuts or his Medicare Part D bill or some other signal legislative achievement. So Obama's 2006 vote means nothing and bears no resemblance to what's going on today. Okay. Number three, Democrats won't compromise. Wah, wah, wah. I also like a man that writes wah, wah, wah.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he meant that in the Charlie Brown's teacher way or the crybaby way.
Or the penguin.
Wah, wah, wah.
I guess you could read it both ways. That is the brilliance of Michael Tomosky.
Anyway, this was the point I was just making that he echoes. A huge lie. The clean CR we keep hearing about, with Democrats backing Republicans opposed, the CR carried the levels of funding for government agencies demanded by Republicans, not Democrats. Huh. Oh, see, this is what you get for ever talking to, conversating, whatever they're calling it today, with Republicans.
Conversating?
Senator Harry Reid said late last week, my caucus really didn't like that. We took a real hit. So that's one of the largest compromises since I've been in Congress. Now, why did they pass a bill at the GOP's preferred levels? Because, Reid said late last week, he had assurances from Boehner that the House Speaker wouldn't attach demands to the Senate CR if Reid brought it in at $988 billion, which was their request. So this whole thing started with a significant Democratic compromise, but once the Republicans decided they were going to use both the shutdown and the debt ceiling to try to defund and or delay Obamacare, they couldn't even vote for a bill that gave them a major fiscal victory. This is just, and have you heard that anywhere else in the media? Savannah Guthrie talking to you and other people interviewing. It's just,
yeah,
it was beyond the pale last week. Now it's, if there's anything paler than beyond the pale. It is so pale.
It's clear.
It's translucent.
It's translucent.
You can see right through it.
By the way,
yes.
Did you see that Boehner has...
A lighter shade of pale, if you
yes.
will.
Did
Thank
you just
you.
See that Boehner has just deemed the house gym essential while cutting funds for kids' cancer treatments at NIH?
Don't touch my golf course.
If Paul Ryan loses his...
P90X thing.
Six pack or whatever that thing is he has.
It's not...
That's a tragedy.
He does not have abs.
Look at my guns. Look, he
doesn't have guns.
I'm curling 20 pounds.
There are other exercises other than curls. Dopey. 48
And there are other ways to wear a hat besides backwards.
After your 8, 48 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, 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 oh. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 53 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Mike in Chatsworth, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mama.
Hello. Go ahead.
You know, I'm confused. If Boehner says that they don't have the votes, did he go to every single Republican? I want to see him put the vote on the floor and really find out what Republicans are going to vote for it or not.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what the president and Jay Carney is saying. And it's interesting. Charlie Pierce thinks that they won't have the votes. Someone was saying, this says a lot about the courage of the Republican Party today, that if it were a what do they call it, anonymous vote, I don't know what the name of it is, but, you know, if they didn't have to show their faces, that it would pass overwhelmingly.
Yeah.
But, you know, the less people would, as Charlie says, stand before God and Rush Limbaugh and have a little courage.
I think we should know how our representatives are voting, though. I don't think it should be...
Linda,
blind vote.
Linda in San Antonio, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
I am really concerned that about what was mentioned this morning, that the tide is kind of turning a little bit. People are starting to think that it's Obama's
Well, that's Chris. He's
Obama's
a naysayer.
And Chris, I agree with you on this one. I was listening to a different news show.
How dare you?
And I know. It was just a moment. It was during one of your breaks, I swear. And I heard that they didn't just quote Boehner, but they played, a clip, and he was saying, Obama needs to come and negotiate. And then there was nothing following it with, even though Obama has asked to negotiate 16 times, and there's nothing about that afterward. And I am concerned that the little sound bites of Boehner, who is the leader of the Republican Party, essentially, and he's the one who speaks for them, as sad as that is for them.
Linda, the thing I just said, where else have you heard that in the mainstream media, that this whole thing started with a significant Democratic compromise? We agreed to their levels of funding. That just goes to show you, whether it's Harry Reid or the president, this is what happens when you behave reasonably or honorably with these people.
Well, and the truth is, as you've mentioned, they had no intention of this wasn't their intention. This is their end game. This is what they've been going for. And the story in the New York Times, but even then, will people be covering that? And will people be, when I say people, I mean regular people, not wants and not people who like listen to this stuff like it's the food they eat, like me. Are they going to realize? Because I do think people are just going to start getting frustrated, too. It's the Republicans' fault, but Obama's got to come in and do something because we're hurting.
Well, I mean, that's where I got you. I mean, that's where I may have to be with Rude on whether it's 14th Amendment or, a discharge petition. This really is global financial catastrophe. Yeah. This is not – nobody is engaging in hyperbole now. And a lot of people have said the shutdown, as awful as it is, the sequester, as awful as it is, it's a whole other universe that you're talking about now. Somebody was saying this is how cynical the Republicans are. They're counting on the American people kind of not quite understanding what the debt ceiling means, because a lot of them don't. It's like, it means we're going to spend more money. No, we've already spent it. This isn't spending more money. It's paying the bills we've already... Okay. Anyway, this is what happens. There's so little journalism. When it breaks out, people notice. Everyone's been talking about Bob Schieffer. This is what journalism should look like. And this is not him... It's just on the facts. It's not being combative or liberal or... Cornyn repeatedly blamed President Obama for refusing to negotiate on defending or delaying the Affordable Care Act in exchange for raising the debt ceiling and ending the shutdown. Cornyn referred to the president as AWOL. Yeah, no one can find him. Schieffer shot back, don't Republicans also have to do their job? It's almost like I'm going to throw a brick through your window unless you give me $20. Cornyn disagreed, saying that Ted Cruz and I share the concern about what Obamacare is doing to our economy.
Blah, blah, blah.
Well, that's fine, but he said, but that's beside the point. The law has been passed. Why not keep the government running and then everybody sit down and decide what they want to do about it? Cornyn again tried to lay the blame on Democrats for not allowing Obamacare cuts to be part of the shutdown solution. Schieffer quickly cut him off. Senator, isn't there something wrong when you say I won't fund the government unless I attach my personal wish list to the legislation every time we vote? I'd love to see the government find a cure for cancer, but I don't think you can say I'm not going to pass any funds for the rest of the government until the NIH finds a cure for cancer. I mean, isn't that just some kind of the same thing there? Thank you, Bob Schieffer, for injecting a tiny bit of sanity in this whole thing.
You can't shut down the government every time you don't get your way.
All right, 58 minutes after the hour. Rocky Mountain Mike next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, bottom of the hour, Jim. Michael Medved. I once debated him about Medvedev. Seriously. No kidding.
Medvedev.
Yeah. We'll be debating him in Chicago coming up soon, I believe, in November. We'll see what he has to say for himself and his little political party.
He'll cry if he wants to.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. By the way, Jim, this is not good news. Ability to choose wisely may decline with age. You mean I'm going to make worse, more disastrous personal choices than I've already made? It only gets worse?
That explains the Republican Party.
We'll have to make a video about that. It only gets worse. When it comes to making boneheaded choices, teenagers usually win society's award for overall poor decision-making, yet a study just published recently suggests our ability to make wise choices changes over time and declines with old age.
I think I'll have the chicken tartare with sun-dried mayonnaise. No? Bad idea?
Yes. In fact, the study found in certain situations the decision-making ability of people older than 65 was worse than that of teenagers. Oh, good. So we have that to look forward to. Wow. Wee. I thought I had all my really horrible choices out of the way, but no.
I know. I'll watch a video on my dashboard while texting and driving at 100 miles an hour. What could possibly go wrong?
Hey, here's some good news from the science stack, though. There's a poop pill, Jim.
Sorry, what?
A poop pill that treats painful intestinal infections. Fecal transplants gaining ground is a highly effective treatment. This is a science stack for recurrent infection with the intestinal bacteria that I cannot pronounce. But the yuck factor of the procedure continues to deter physicians from offering it to patients who could benefit, said a practicing gastroenterologist who has come up with a solution to the problem, a gelatin capsule filled with the highly compacted fecal matter of a patient's family member.
Nice.
Oh, God.
I just think I'm going to buy it.
Which end is
here,
it supposed to enter?
Have a pill with your grandma's here.
Oh.
Here.
Wow.
This will make everything better.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Oh.
That's just disgusting. Hi, Bay. All right. So what, is it, do we have our good friend?
Uh-huh.
Who has his, he's going to jingle himself. All right. Here we go.
Mike.
Yep. Yeah. Aw, there he is, Rocky Mountain Mike. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How are you? You've jingled. Have you ever jingled yourself before?
I've never jingled myself before, and I feel ashamed.
I have to say, you know, we have a big sexy liberal announcement Friday, and you got the biggest rock star cheer, I think, of anybody. I believe it was at Chicago Sexy Liberal, wasn't it?
I don't remember. I was drunk.
Well, of course you were, sir. Of course you were. You're a man after my own heart. But you have been supplying all the amazing comedy bits that we play here at the Stephanie Miller Show. And my favorite part, of course, absolutely for free. Absolutely.
That's right. And that's the great thing about this album is because you can cue it up and play it, and you can play like you're Stephanie Miller. The only difference is you have to pay for it.
Right. Right. And it's about time you got paid, for God's sake, sir. And I understand that you utilize the voice talents of the voice deity, Jim Ward.
Yes. That was awesome. We asked Jim if he would come on board, and he said yes. And
Well, you know, with storms coming and the government being shut down and all that, including the weather service, I think it was important that you bring us Pat Robertson's gay abortion tornado weather radar center report.
We interrupt this program for this special report from the Pat Robertson gay abortion tornado weather radar center.
Thanks. Now you can see by the Weather Judgment Center 9 gay abortion color radar that there is an area of extreme sin and deprivation that is the most threatened, along a line and 10 miles either side of a line from Los Angeles to Las Vegas. Now, righteous people in these areas should expect the fornicators and sodomites in the path of God's wrath to be swept up by tornadoes and into the lake of fire within the next 15 minutes. You can see these fornicators and sodomites here on Weather Judgment Center 9's patented Center Doppler Suite. Also, wives in these areas who aren't servants to their husbands and who are just plain not that good looking will be plucked up out of their storm shelters to be boiled in absolute punishment, wherein their giblets will be rendered, their naughty parts sauteed in the clarified butter of their wicked perfidy. In addition, we're keeping a close watch on this tropical storm that will probably attack homosexual structures such as dog grooming parlors and antique stores within the next 48 hours. Be sure to stay tuned to Weather Judgment Center 9 as we continue to track the path of God's wrath. In Jesus' name I pray.
Thank God for you, Rocky Mountain Mike.
Thank God for Jim.
The CD is politically incoherent. And how might we get that if we wanted that?
Why, it's funny you should ask.
Uh-huh.
If you go to politicallyincoherent.us, you can order the CD shipped to you in 2 days. And we have a special promo code. If you order that today with the promo code, you'll get 10% off. And the promo code is Skeeter1.
Skeeter1. Aw, Skeeter of Obama Derangement Syndrome. That is precious.
Hip-hop
we all
barbecue.
Love Skeeter. Hip-hop barbecue.
And I got to tell you, Steph, this whole thing, I owe a big debt of gratitude for not only letting me do the little crazy stuff on the show, but because of Sexy Liberal, I met a lot of the talent that's on this this album, including Richard Hensel of Chicago, just an amazing... San Mary in the Harbor, King Pick, Jesse River Cal, Red Walker, my friend from Little Rock. But a lot of these folks came about as a result of going to the Sexy Liberal shows and just, meeting folks and having dinner with them and finding out what incredible talent they had.
Yeah, a crazy talented bunch, of course, with you in the lead there. And by the way, big Sexy Liberal announcement Friday. We're going to go on sale Friday, I know you're right. I mean that was the thing that like warmed my heart the most. It's not even our big celebrity guest stars. I don't think got as big applause as you did, and Sue in Rockville, and Kevin in D.C., and all the people that go to the Sexy Liberals all over the country. It's just a big little
truly really unique in the history of America.
Toys. Exactly. Now, and the other thing is, you also do not just entertain; you inform. Many people have said, Steph, what is the gay agenda?
Suburban Plainview, a day like any other.
Hi, how you doing?
Hello, Dan.
Hello.
Hey, where are you going?
Well, I was going to the bar to watch the fights, but I suddenly feel like going to the gym.
Little did everyone know the menace that lay just around the corner. No one was ready for...
Hello.
Hello. What's happening to me?
The gay agenda.
And in other news, customers are abandoning car colors like red, blue, and yellow and switching their orders to teal, bone, and reportedly avocado. While the Plainview Chamber of Commerce has reported applications for 5 new tanning salons.
The gay agenda. No longer would things be the same.
Honey, I'm home.
Oh, hello, dear. What's the matter?
It's that couple down the street, you know. That couple.
Oh, yes, sweetheart.
I just found out they got married.
Oh dear. Oh no.
Yes, darling.
So this means...
our marriage is over.
Oh, dear. Our house is crumbling around us.
Sweetheart, your face, it's melting.
The Gay Agenda. This theater will feature strong yet subdued uplighting during the last 10 minutes of The Gay Agenda.
Yikes. guys. Hold me. Hold me, Rocky Mountain Mike.
Brilliant stuff, Rocky Mountain Mike.
It is scary. It is scary. Yeah, we have loved it. Loved your brilliance for so long, honey. And good luck. It's Politically Incoherent is the CD. And don't forget, Sexy Liberal West Coast goes on sale Friday. So, you know,
yep.
get ready.
And it's also, you can also order on Amazon and iTunes and Barnes & Noble as well.
Wow.
There you go.
It's available everywhere.
You can't avoid it. Just like the shutdown.
Just do it. Rocky Mountain Mike.
Well, how many tracks are there?
There's 29 tracks.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah,
well,
yeah. Pick 29.
Anyone that listens to the show knows you are amazingly prolific. And so it's, there's stuff that we have, some of my favorites, Obama Derangement, Tea Party Harmony.
And there's a bunch of new stuff, like the two we just heard today.
Yes, indeed. Love you, Rocky Mountain Mike.
All right.
No, go ahead.
I was going to tell you, we have a bit about health care set in the Old West, and it's called The Bandits of Medicine Gulch.
Awesome, because we are in the Old West. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Love you, Rocky Mountain Mike. There you go, Rocky Mountain Mike, everybody.
Politicallyincoherent.us.
Yeah, I think he rivaled Alan Grayson for the rock star cheer when we introduced him at One Sexy Liberal.
Yeah.
Wow, speaking of Tea Party rock stars, I was reading this story. I was mentioning about whether the teabaggers are going to get teabagged out of the, by the GOP establishment.
Right.
In Tennessee, Tea Party aligned Representative Scott DeJarlis. DeJarlis?
Yeah.
He's one of my favorites. You remember who this guy is?
Yes.
He faces a GOP primary challenge from State Senator Jim Tracy, who has won over donors and other supporters who abandoned DeJarlis after a series of personal scandals. In DeJarlis' divorce records, released too late in the 2012 campaign to impact the result, the congressman revealed he had multiple affairs with co-workers and patients while he was chief of staff at a hospital. And wait for it, he counseled a mistress and his wife to get abortions. Even though he's a really perfect boy.
I don't think he should be the chief of his staff. It's getting him into trouble.
Oh, boy. Yeah, clearly he needs someone else to be the chief of his staff. Anyway, elsewhere in the article, it's people popping up organically in these districts. The traditional governing wing of the Republican Party is fed up with this dysfunction, this no to everything, this refusal to engage the other side to find solutions. So we'll see which pressure, makes who cave where. Okay. What?
If, huh? Why? How?
What now?
And, or?
Also, too, in addition, 18 minutes after
the
hour.
Wow, that was Bachman-esque.
Right?
Or Palin-esque.
Right.
Both.
Thank you. 18 minutes after the hour. We'll be back with them. More on the boner as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A beautifully wrapped, glossy, sweet-smelling show.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting with HD Faces, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online. Now you can even present from your iPad. Whoa. Try it free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on that there. Try it free button. Type in the promo code, Stephanie. 1-800-STEP-12, the number. Tim in Atlanta. Hi, Tim.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, I love listening to your show here.
Thank you.
And I had a perfect example this morning while listening to POTUS of the Republican incoherent babbling that I don't even think they realize what they're saying anymore. Republican Representative Pettinger from North Carolina was on POTUS this morning, and when asked why they're still pushing to push back or delay the individual mandate on the Affordable Care Act, his response was that they were trying to help Obama preserve his legacy, because if they don't push back the affordable mandate, or the individual mandate,
right,
that it might destroy Obamacare and destroy his legacy.
Right, right. They've always been helpers. They've always been helpers, Jen, and we have always been at war with East Asia. Jack Lew, Treasury Secretary, I believe yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Lew, yesterday.
There's no good solution if you can't pay all your bills. And the United States government is not just another party. It is the gold standard in terms of what full faith and credit means.
Exactly.
Yeah.
China's like what he said. China was all like, and then we were all like, wait. And they were like, and are you like, kidding? We were right? like, what? I was like, no way. Way. Okay, I'm just paraphrasing the conversation with China. I'm sure it was something like that.
I doubt China would sound like that.
Okay. Way. Right, maybe that word.
Right, yes. Right.
W-E-I.
That was one of them, yeah. Their prime ministers or what presidents or something, wasn't it? Way.
Really?
Way. I don't remember. Way. Somebody.
That would be a whole other who's on first. Way. Yes. Way. No.
How much does he weigh? Who?
Way.
When?
What?
Who?
Way.
Who?
I don't even know what I'm
way.
Talking about.
No way.
When?
Way when?
Oh, God.
What?
This show, you know what? We should just shut down this show. Just, you know, yeah. Till the government's back up.
Yeah, I think so. That's
right.
Probably
that's
best.
Right.
We're having a radio shutdown.
Harry Reid on why John Boehner is such a...
So I asked the speaker, why are you afraid? Are you afraid this measure will pass? The government will reopen and Americans will realize you took the country hostage for no apparent reason?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what... Oh, no, yeah. I should have said that.
Yeah, yeah. And the boner yesterday.
President would rather default on our debt than to sit down and negotiate. Now, the American people expect when their leaders... have differences, and we're in a time of crisis, then we'll sit down and at least have a conversation.
Yes, we have conversations in America. They're called elections, and you, sir, lost. You get nothing good day.
You get nothing. You lose. Mm-hmm. Good day, sir.
We're going to have a conversation tomorrow. Sit there and... Ivory Tower, which is not all he does over there.
Oh, who wants to have a conversation? He's that close talker at the bar. With
and another girl. Thing.
I say about. Oh. Okay. By the way, the Daily Beast brings us 5 boner quotes from one interview that explains everything. This was with George Stephanopoulos.
Yes.
He said, providing fairness to the American people under Obamacare, that's all we're asking for. My goodness. I love when he talks like that.
My goodness.
Hey, my goodness. They give big business a waiver, they give all these unions a waiver, and yet they're forcing the American people to buy a product they do not want, cannot afford. Okay. We just deconstruct that. The idea the administration granted a blanket waiver to big business is absurd. The reality is businesses with more than 50 employees now have until 2015 to comply with the employer mandate for health insurance, because as you often say, Chris, it's a big ship to turn around.
It's a rather large battleship.
And this affects a relatively small number of businesses, by the way, and is separate from the other employer-centered regulations of the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, well, I just stuck your battleship. Stuck on that.
Public opinion is ambivalent on the speaker's assertion that Obamacare is a product the American people do not want. And most analyses contradict the claim that insurance under the Affordable Care Act is unaffordable. In fact, in many states, premiums are much cheaper than expected, as we have been discussing on the show. As for the union waivers decried by Boehner, well, that one is just a big
You're a lying sack of crap.
They just don't exist.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're
that
lying,
is just
scheming, stinking, a big nasty fat sack of liquid crap.
He and then this was speaking of loading the liar canyon. I told the president there's no way we're going to pass when the votes are not there in the House to pass it to clean that limit. The president's risking default by not having conversation. Liar! Liar! Yes, Rachel broke this down very delightfully last night. The people that are on record saying they will vote for it take us to at least the 217 that we would need. He said, I don't want the United States to fall in his debt, but I'm going to raise the debt limit. I'm not going to David without a serious conversation about dealing with the problems that are driving the debt up. It would be irresponsible of me to do this. See what he did there?
Yeah.
Be irresponsible of him not raise the debt limit without a... Okay. All right. Then he said, every president in modern history has negotiated a debt limit. Debt limits have been used to force big policy changes in Washington. And guess what, George? They're going to be used again. Not only is this not true, the Daily Beast points out, as we discussed earlier, but it's a terrifying promise of future dysfunction, which explains President Obama's decision to hold firm. If he bends to Republican demands, he guarantees a future where legislative minorities are free to threaten the economy and demand concessions from the majority. It's a full assault on our constitutional norms, and Obama is right to challenge it. That's what I've been saying over and over and over again. He is not just defending his health care law. This is the whole, you know, our how we are going to govern ourselves as a country.
Is it too late to have a parliamentary system so we can have a voter no confidence?
Kinda.
I think it may be.
It's going to tie the Wayback Machine.
It's like 230-something years too late.
No problem.
Okay. Yeah, you cannot, though. You cannot set this precedent. I'm going to yell at Michael Medved about that next. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Partaking of the grape, were we?
Just a little Merle.
That's any party at Steph's house.
Yeah. Partaking of the grape.
Tom Brokaw enjoys a little. Exactly. All right. You know, Seinfeld had Newman, and of course we have Medved. Good morning, Medved.
Hey, good morning, Miller.
Good morning, Michael Medved. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Somehow surviving this asinine shutdown.
Yeah. Well, we agree on something.
I think we probably agree on more than you would realize. I am so thoroughly disgusted by all participants. Everything.
Oh, here we go. Both sides are to blame. Both sides are equally to blame, right, Michael?
No, they're not equally to blame for getting us into this mess, but they are equally to blame when it comes to getting out of this mess. The President of the United States could put an end to this rather quickly.
Oh, God. This is, you know what? By the way, I need to mention this before, because I'm used to talking to you from the safety of my box on television and on CNN. But I will have to do this live in person in Chicago, November 7th at the Meadows Club in Rolling Meadows. Interesting. Your station is wind. It's just because it's full of a lot of hot air?
It's actually Windy City, remember?
Oh,
that's right.
But it's also, that station got that name originally because the transmitter is in Indiana. It's WIND.
I got it. Okay. We will be anyway, but November 7th, it's the great debate, and you can buy tickets for just, I think they start at $25, unless you want VIP tickets where you get to actually meet me, which is very, very exciting, as you know.
It's a life-changing experience
for
everyone.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you. ChicagosProgressiveTalk.com for tickets. So, Michael, you have to tell me a time in our history. Has a party ever done this? Threatened to shut down the government or default on our debt over a bill that is law. That is law has been upheld by the Supreme Court, has been reaffirmed in two landslide elections.
No, this is where the unfortunately, part of what people like you, Stephanie, have been saying is absolutely true, which is that there's a terrible group of folks, and I don't think they're good folks at all, who had it in their minds that somehow this was a way to advance their own careers and to raise money. They know for a fact that Obamacare is not going to be defunded. Obamacare is not going to be delayed. Obamacare is not going to be changed. I had a Tom Cole, who's a congressman from Oklahoma, sane Republican, on my show, and he basically said what I think is very obviously true. Is, you know, you're not going to get rid of something called Obamacare when Obama is in the White House. It's not going to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is just reality.
But who's going to win the fight, Michael, in your party between the establishment and the Tea Party?
It's over. There never was any real fight. What there was a real failure to basically say the emperor has no clothes. I mean, Senator Cruz and that idiot filibuster, the key fight right now is to prevent people who do not wish well to the Republican Party from making Ted Cruz the face of the Republican Party. Because if he's the face of our party, we lose everything.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the problem, but who is going to control the Ted Cruzes of your party?
Well, I actually have been speaking to a number of people in the House and in the Senate, and you have no idea of the levels of hatred of this guy in the U.S. Senate. And right. this from very conservative people who wouldn't agree with Stephanie Miller on anything at all, but they probably agree with you on Ted Cruz.
And, right. Listen, and, every now and again a wormhole opens in the universe and you and I agree on yeah. CNN.
Well, that's right. We're not going to agree too much, I'm sure, when we get together in Chicago. But here's what I look forward to, Stephanie. You know, and I know, that by that time, God willing, we will have raised the debt ceiling, which we have to do. That people will shake hands. Both sides will claim victory. But by the way, both sides are not going to win.
Right.
The president's going to win because he's the president, and because basically this was an idiotic, ridiculous idea to try to punish the American people for a law that was passed 4 years ago and is the law of the land. Let me tell you something else. I am also ticked off at people running ads urging people not to sign up for health insurance.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wow.
Wow, this better be over because we better have something to disagree about on November 7th. Because so far, we are like the polite chipmunks. I don't know what...
No, I think Obamacare is a mess. Based on the fact that you cannot explain, no one can explain how you're supposed to pay for, and by the way, I think it's a mess from the left-wing point of view as well as from the right-wing point of view. I think a single-payer system works better than this.
Yes. Agreed again, after you.
It's like a Rube Goldberg contraption that's designed to collapse. Here's the problem as I see it, Stephanie, and this is something that I hope we can talk about when we get together on November 7th. Everyone, I think, agrees you have to insure more Americans. It is wrong, it is inappropriate for the greatest country on earth to have 47 million people who don't have health insurance. It's just wrong. We shouldn't do that. So you either do that by a combination of expanding Medicaid and then doing something for people with pre-existing conditions. But the question is, it's a pretense and a lie to say that that's going to happen with nobody paying more. What a lot of people are finding out right now, and I hear from them, and
they all pay more now when people use the emergency room as you know, their primary care, which is why Bob Dole and the Heritage Foundation, thank you very much, thought of this idea.
Yeah, no, look, and this is one of the reasons, again, I think that the Republican position has been very foolish. I did a piece in the Wall Street Journal, which they actually published, where I said Republicans should not be defenders of the status quo on two systems in our country that are completely broken. Number one, health care, and number two, immigration. And right now, people perceive Republicans as being diehard supporters of the status quo. People who are going to fall on our swords to defend the status quo. Who likes the status quo in health care? Mm-hmm. You don't.
Mm-hmm. Nobody does.
Well, these headlines like this are helpful for you. Boehner deems house gym essential while cutting funds for kids' cancer treatments at NIH.
Wow.
Well, yeah, but that's like the headlines about the president being responsible for them putting barriers at viewpoints at Mount Rushmore. I mean, this entire thing is beyond belief ridiculous. It's not achieving anything for our country. It's not achieving anything for our politics. I think the result of all of this is going to be just depressing turnout. And by the way, from both sides, it's not.
I don't know. I know people will. You'll say, oh, they're liberal polls, but PPP just did a bunch of polls, and they were the second most accurate polling outfit in this last election. This says the House is in real danger. Republicans are in real danger of losing the House.
Okay, Stephanie, I've been saying this for 2 months to my side,
right.
Which is, I think that PPP poll should give concern to everybody, and every
not to me.
Every poll besides Rasmussen shows right now a generic ballot advantage of it averages about 7 points for Democrats, which does mean that the House could be in play.
Right.
However, I do think that what that doesn't reckon with is the level of complete disgust on both sides. The Gallup poll yesterday, it was a new poll, showed that by 2-1, people said they have less respect for Barack Obama because of the shutdown, by almost identical percentage that they have less respect for the Republicans in the House, given the fact that Republicans in the House didn't have much respect to begin with.
Yeah, I believe they're in single digits now, aren't they?
Yeah. Hard to... No, really they are. I mean, basically, the last poll I saw was 87-10 people disapprove of the House.
A Republican congressman from Mississippi said his colleagues are like lemmings with suicide vests because that's they don't care as long as they take down everyone with them, I guess.
Actually, you know who that was? That was one of the bright stars, rising stars of the Republican Party, Devin Nunes of California. And who is one of the leading new generation of Latino Republicans. Look, I don't get me started because I'm very controversial about this.
I know.
I think our party has a lot of problems.
Listen, Michael, here's the thing. I really do like you. I think you're too reasonable. You're too nice to be a Republican. They are too mean. It is Lord of the Flies. Someone is going to kill you with a rock. You have to get out. You have to get out and come to our side. Come to the light. You are too nice. I will spoon with you in Chicago November 7th at the Meadows Club in Rolling
Hills. Then I look forward to it even more.
And I'll see you in the little boxes on the TV, I'm sure. All right, Michael. See you
Thanks
soon.
A lot, Stephanie.
All right, thank
God
you. Very
good. Who replaced Michael?
Wow, what the
Dimitri
hell was that?
Yeah,
they're going to run him out of town on a rail
in
a second.
He's getting the witness protection program.
Yeah. Okay.
You were loaded for bear, and then all of a sudden he agreed with everything.
I'm not arguing with you about that.
Single pet?
That's how they disarm you.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a plot.
I just fell for it like whoosh. I didn't even see that thinly veiled bed of leaves there. I just fell right in the dirt hole. Wow.
It puts the lotion
single
on its skin.
Single pair. Wow. Wow. I think that's a way to hook a liberal. Single pair. Hi. Oh, wait a minute. Now I'm in a dirt hole.
It puts the lotion on its skin or it gets the hose again.
Charles in Arkansas,
she was screaming.
Charles in Arkansas, hello, Charles.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Stephanie, right?
Yes. Hi, Charles.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay.
I just wanted to, I like the actual government shutdown and cutting off funds. I'm going to tell you why I like it. Because I think, actually, that Boehner over in that Republican Congress actually is acting on principle, you know, of his own, you know. So I respect people like it that do that, whether they're liberal or...
Really? Like Boehner?
Even though they're going to throw the entire world economy
into... That is a principle, worldwide financial catastrophe. That sure is a principle worth standing on there.
Sure.
Nicely done, sir. By the way, speaking of screaming, stop sending me the article about Jodie Foster has a new girlfriend. I know.
Why are you that girlfriend?
Ever since we were dating at the DNC.
Sure you were.
According to the interwet. Jodie Foster, who was my girlfriend, Jim.
Really? Okay. If you say so.
No, I've never met her. But it got on the internet, and we ran with that sucker, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
And now people still send me this, like I'm going to be upset. I've never met her. I remember, not only were we spotted together at the DNC, she got us better hotel rooms at the Democratic Convention because...
Really?
Something.
Our hotel rooms were 20 miles away. That's a better hotel room?
Right, yeah, nice one. Way to go, Jody. No wonder I broke up with you.
And she's dating David Hedison's daughter. He was in The Fly,
Alexandra Hedison. Ellen DeGeneres' old...
Captain Lee Crane of The Sea View.
I don't travel in lesbian circles because
You're not part of the big Hollywood lesbian cabal?
No, because I go to bed at...
Stupid o'clock.
And get up at...
Insane o'clock.
I don't know,
most boring lesbian ever.
I'm not really even very good at it. I don't...
You don't have dinner at Meredith Baxter's house every night?
No, I do not. I'm barely invited anywhere. Yeah, Jody's glad we're talking about this again. Because remember, she used to call Travis every day. Travis, tell her to shut up. I am not dating. I've never even met her. She's ruining my social life. Oh, I'm screaming over her.
What does she do, this girl you seek?
Okay, 47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Like Frisbee Golf, I'm glad I tried it once.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Everybody, 52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Oh, boy. Guess what I'm going to have? A lot of C words in my box later. Steph was on Hannity last night. Dana gives us the saying we want to blow up our children. Okay.
Right. Whatever.
Oh, Sean, you're a straggler. That was a few days ago.
Yeah. He always does it with that really awful smelling man, Brent Bozell.
Right. Okay. Just to review for all the alls you just tuned in, I was talking politically. I was paraphrasing Michael Tomasky, who said they are not. And also the Republican congressman from Mississippi that was just talking to Michael Medved about, that said his own Republican colleagues are lemmings with suicide vests. I said they are politically suicide bombers.
Why doesn't Hannity feature that on Media Mash?
Lord. Jim, happy news for both of us. Drones are helping make delicious wine.
What?
Sometimes it's hard to see the big picture from the ground in a vineyard. The color of vine, signs of stress, easier to see, especially from the sky. Today, this kind of aerial surveying for agriculture can be done with an appointment and service fee from a manned airplane or helicopter, but in the future it can be done by drones.
Wine drone.
Right, that the farmers themselves own.
The only kind of wine drone you want is a drone that brings you your wine.
Can I get
here
that?
Here is your wine, Stan.
Is that a Malmo? Is that a Hummacher Schlemmer?
Brookstone.
Yes, one vineyard is using 3D robotics, a drone company, to fly over its vineyard. Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry, I accidentally bombed the vine. Sorry.
It's going to be a bad Pinot year. Hey, in other wine news.
I think it's corked.
So I've got a new future wife. Ruth Bader Ginsburg blames wine for her State of the Union nap. Did you see that? Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, my God, is she dead? Oh, no. She was, seriously, did you see her?
I saw her.
She said it was no swill. It was very good California wine that Justice Anthony Kennedy brought to dinner held before the big speech. Rock on. Rock on, sister. All right.
Did he also bring a cake? Or was it a pie? No, never mind.
I don't know what I was talking about.
Oh, no, not the other guy.
And, wow, in really horrifying Supreme Court news. Who read the Antonin Scalia, New York Times Magazine interview? That is terrifying.
I read
parts
of it. Yeah, it is.
Terrifying.
He believes in all kinds of supernatural voodoo and stuff.
The devil.
Yeah.
Do that voodoo.
The HuffPo broke down the 9 weirdest things we learned from Scalia's New York Times Magazine interview. Scalia believes a law permitting flogging would be constitutional.
Okay.
These are not so fun facts. He believes there are legal reasons for discriminating against women, but not minorities. Like fighting in combat, for example. Isn't that nice? He said there are some intelligent reasons to treat women differently. Right. He hates the Washington Post. We just get the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Times.
The Washington Times?
Ew.
But I think they lost subscriptions because they became so shrilly, shrilly liberal. That's what you want a Supreme Court judge. And he says he gets his news just from talk radio. So pretty much just Rush.
That's not news, that's opinion.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
He's a Supreme Court justice. That's a lifetime thing for those of y'all keeping track of that. He thinks social networking is strange. Well, that's true. I don't know
strange.
Why anyone would like to be friended on the network. Well, that's because you would get defriended, like, daily.
As long as he doesn't tweet anything.
Right. He said, I mean, what kind of narcissistic society is that the people want to put that out there? This is my life, and this is what I did yesterday. I mean, good grief. He went all Charlie Brown.
Good grief.
He thinks society is eroding because ladies curse. Oh,
really?
Whatever.
Oh, God.
Well, then they're not ladies, are they? They're tramps and trollops and harlots.
23 Skidoo.
He may have gay friends. Just think.
May?
He said, I have friends I know who very much suspect are homosexual.
If you suspect they're homosexual, they're not friends.
No.
Friends would tell you.
Yeah. Why would they feel weird about that? He doesn't care if his legacy is marked by opposition to gay rights. He said maybe the world is spinning toward a wider acceptance of homosexual rights, like a wider stance on it,
sure.
Maybe. And here's Scalia standing athwart it. That sounds gay, the way he said
that.
That's
pretty gay, standing athwart.
Number
standing.
8, he believes in the devil. That's the weirdest section. Read the whole section for Supreme Court. Holy moly. The devil. Satan. He believes in Satan.
Isn't that special?
Yeah, that's special.
Doesn't that make our naughty parts
special
single?
And terrifying. All right, that's it for us. We will see. Oh, Hal Sparks tomorrow, Sexy
yes.
Liberal?
Yes.
All right, and we will see you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.